This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for a look at Wednesday's headlines, and we start with healthcare, as President Obama is warning about doing nothing on healthcare reform. In fact, he says doing nothing is more expensive than his version of reform.
We could see this economy just sputter along for decades, a slow, steady decline in which the chances for our children and our grandchildren are fewer than the opportunities that were given to us.
The president says he is not endorsing a single-payer system for health care, as many of his conservative critics allege the government option will eventually lead to. The president says he wants to keep some of the current components of the health care system in place.
We have to preserve what's best in the health care system, and that means allowing Americans who like their doctor and like their health care plan to keep their plan. And that's going to be a priority for us. But we also have to fix what's broken.
The president says fixing what's broken will entail, in his opinion, a public option that involves the government in providing some competition to the private insurance options.
It's also time to provide Americans who can't afford health insurance with more affordable options. I believe this is a moral imperative, and it is an economic imperative.
The president also took some questions, but the Washington Times and then later in the day reported that at least seven of them were staged, four of them specifically scripted by the White House. One of the folks in the audience who spoke up was Debbie, who suffers from kidney cancer. The president says it should be the government that ends up footing the medical bills for people like Debbie who have severe conditions but cannot pay for the treatment.
Debbie is a perfect example of somebody who we should, in a country this wealthy, be able to provide coverage for her health care problems.
So how exactly will this be paid for? Well, by the wealthiest taxpayers. In an explanation that may remind some of his spread the wealth around comment from the 2008 presidential campaign, the president says the wealthiest taxpayers should be helping out those who can't afford their own care.
I think the best way for us to pay for it is, as I said, capping the itemized deductions that people making over $250,000 a year, people like myself, used to be Valerie was making that, but now she's working for the federal government, so she wouldn't be affected by this. Capping those itemized deductions, we can raise enough money to pay for a good, high-quality health care reform proposal.
As we've explained many times, the conservative opposition to his plan is quite vocal. They say that the president's plan would lead to government-run health care, which would lead to rationing and a downgrade in quality of care across the board. They also say an important way to trim costs is to cap malpractice damage awards due to a litigious, happy society. The president says he's not at all in favor of that plan.
I don't like the idea of an artificial cap on somebody if the doctor or the hospital really was negligent. And in some cases, I've got to tell you, they are.
Meanwhile, just over half of Americans support the health care plan advocated by the president. A new CNN Opinion Research Corporation poll shows 51% of people say they favor Obama's plan, while 45% are against it. Even so, only 1 in 5 people believe their families would be better off with the president's health care plan. 55% of respondents said they thought the health care system needs a lot of reform. Obesity rates grew in nearly 24 states over the past year. Two advocacy groups say adults in 23 states are fatter now than they were last year. The report by Trust for America's Health and the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation shows 2/3 of American adults are either obese or overweight. It also warns the obesity problem could derail efforts to overhaul the nation's healthcare system. The report calls for a national strategy to fight obesity, which can lead to heart disease, diabetes, and cancer. Trust for America's Jeff Levi says the obesity epidemic is a big reason for skyrocketing healthcare costs. In a statement, he asked how the U.S. would be competitive with the rest of the world if its economy and workforce are bogged down with health problems. It's financial problems that have the governor of California and many people in that state worried today. California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger declaring a fiscal emergency in the Golden State because of the impasse over the state's budget. Bottom line, it's a new fiscal year. California and its lawmakers and governor have not agreed on a new budget plan, and therefore the state is broke. The governor is also ordering state employees to take another day off without pay, bringing the total number of monthly furlough days to 3. Lawmakers failed to pass a budget package before the new fiscal year began today. The state controller says he will begin printing IOUs tomorrow that the state will use to pay the state's bills and even send out to state beneficiaries, including welfare recipients. No help on the horizon, though, for California from the White House, so says Press Secretary Robert Gibbs.
The biggest step the federal government can do, we have done as it related to the recovery plan. I think about $144 billion is the amount of money in the recovery plan for states.
Gibbs said the administration is closely monitoring the situation and noted that California is hardly alone nationwide in major financial woes at the state level, although California is certainly in the worst situation. Meanwhile, sticking in the Golden State, the Obama administration has granted, through its Environmental Protection Agency, the state of California the right to impose its own strict standards controlling greenhouse gas emissions from cars and trucks. Reporter Kate Moody has more.
The new regulations are expected to be adopted by a dozen other states that want to impose tougher emission standards and will become the national standard by 2012. The California regulation requires automakers to increase the fuel economy of cars and trucks sold in the state by 40%, or an average of 35.5 miles per gallon. California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger welcomed the decision and applauded the Obama administration for finally, quote, stepping up to the wheel. The immediate impact of the decision, though, is more symbolic than practical, as the 2009 fleet of new vehicles is already in compliance with the California rules. Kate Moody, Washington.
Back to the economy, and private employers slashed nearly 500,000 jobs last month. The latest ADP National Employment Report shows 473,000 non-farm private jobs were lost in June. It's the smallest monthly reading since last October. However, it's still more than analysts had expected and sheds doubt on expectations that the economy will recover soon. On Wall Street today, trading was light in advance of the July 4th holiday weekend. The Dow was up 57, ending the session at 8504. The Nasdaq up 11 to 1846, the S&P 500 gaining 4 points to finish at 923, oil closing at $69.31 a barrel, down 58 cents in Wednesday's trading. More dismal news from the big three. Chrysler has reported a 42% drop in total U.S. sales for June over the same period in 2008. However, the automaker increased its market share by more than 1%. One highlight for June includes a 34% increase in Dodge Challenger sales. The Dodge Journey and Dodge Ram also saw increased sales. Given the fact the company spent nearly 3 weeks of June in bankruptcy, Chrysler brand president and CEO Peter Fong remarked that he's pleased with the first month of performance from the new Chrysler. Meanwhile, sales of General Motors vehicles continued to collapse during the month of June, plunging 34% compared to last year. The data are the first results since the nation's number one automaker also filed for bankruptcy protection. Democratic Senator-elect from Minnesota Al Franken thanking supporters today and pledging to get down to business following a victory rally 8 months after Election Day 2008. The junior senator-elect pledged to fight for many different issues, education reform, health care, and others when he heads to Washington.
I'll work with Democrats, with Republicans, and independents, anyone who'll join me in trying to rebuild our economy, put people back to work, and improve the lives of Minnesotans.
Over in the Middle East, deadly bombings in Iraq have boosted the civilian death toll in June. The country's health ministry says the number of deaths last month rose to 373, up from a record low of 134 in May. U.S. forces pulled out from Iraq cities Tuesday, generating fear that militants will try to ratchet up those deadly attacks. President Obama and Secretary of State Hillary Clinton reportedly argued over the stance the U.S. should take against Iran. Obama was accused by Republicans, particularly his former campaign rival John McCain, of being too timid in his response to violence against Iranian protesters by the Iranian regime. Huge demonstrations marked by crackdowns followed the June 12th Iranian elections. The Washington Times reports Clinton urged Obama to take a tougher stand. When he finally did so, the paper claims he informed the State Department, but the word never got to Clinton. When the secretary heard Obama call actions by Iran outrageous, the newspaper says she was actually surprised. Meanwhile, the official loser of Iran's once-disputed presidential election says the new government there is illegitimate. Mir Hussein Mousavi posted the statement on his website saying, quote, "It is our historical responsibility to continue our protests and not to abandon our efforts to preserve the nation's rights." He added he would be joining a planned association of leading figures that would follow up on the rights of the people and ignored votes. Cynthia McKinney, the controversial former congresswoman from Georgia, is in the spotlight again. She was aboard a boat seized by Israeli naval forces. The BBC is reporting that the Greek-registered Arion was intercepted when it attempted to run a blockade in the Mediterranean Sea 23 miles off the Gaza coast. According to the U.S.-based Free Gaza Movement, the Arion was carrying humanitarian aid to Gaza. McKinney is calling the boarding an outrageous violation of international law. Israel's consulate general has accused McKinney of a reckless political stunt. And finally, Oscar-winning actor Carl Malden has died. The Los Angeles Times cites Malden's daughter, who says the actor died of natural causes at his home in California today at the age of 97. Malden won an Oscar for his role as Mitch in the movie A Streetcar Named Desire. He also received recognition for his work in the 1970s TV series The Streets of San Francisco. But for all of his film and TV work over the years, it was actually for a series of American Express Traveler's Checks commercials that perhaps gave Mauldin his most recognition.
American Express Traveler's Checks, wherever you go, don't leave home without them.
Carl Mauldin, gone at the age of 97. That's a look at Wednesday's news. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.